Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone. Welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 17th of January, 2022. It's a cold, snowy Sunday, actually, as I'm recording this. Freaking really cold. Not so snowy. It's like flurry. It was supposed to be worse, but I think I'm going to end up eating these words. But I think we're going to end up being better off. At least I hope. Anyway, I am Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Thank you for downloading, sharing, telling a friend, all that good stuff. We will have the winner announced of the drawing, the book drawing, at the end of the program. But I can tell you which book was won, so you can then start plotting your next thing. The Ted Cruz book was won or chosen by the winner. That means that next week's drawing or this week's drawing will be Debbie Harry back in the saddle again against a different Ben Carson book. I'll tell you all about that at the end of the program. Don't forget about Life Change Tea. Go to getthetea.com and enter promo code Derek at checkout to get free fast shipping. Great stuff, great product, great people. Gets you regular, keeps you going, gives you more energy. Getthetea.com. Also, patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast is where you enter the contest, where you get the curse program. I coined the phrase Urethra Franklin, or used the phrase Urethra Franklin, about Joe Biden demanding respect this weekend. If you're not a subscriber there, that's the comedy gold you're missing. Anyway, let's get on with the program. Like I said, it has been a horrible week for Democrats. From sea to shining sea, I don't think there's a single story that comes off good for Democrats in this past week. Can you think of one? I don't think there is one. Everything that they had been pushing for either derailed completely or at least suffered a significant setback, which means that last week was a good week for the Republic. It was a good week for our country. Joe Biden's dreams of filibuster reform, quote unquote. I love how the media is, they're so effective that even I fall for it, and everybody falls for it. You hear the news, the Democrats are pushing for voting rights legislation. It's not voting rights legislation. It is a federal takeover of it. It's not voting rights. Nobody's being denied the right to vote. Who's being denied the right to vote? If there was somebody out there being denied the right to vote, they would be led out before cameras by the president, the vice president, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, every Democrat. They'd have a sit down with Lester Holt and David Muir and whoever does the CBS news. They'd be all out there every single day. I was denied the right to vote. And oh my God, there would be investigations into this. And the Justice Department would announce a new department named after that person to make sure that no other person should suffer that indignity. But they don't. They don't even bring out one person. They just say the Republicans are working hard to disenfranchise voters, particularly voters of color. And nobody in the press pool goes, how? How? Because there is no how. There is no answer. They know that. And you don't ask questions if you don't want the answer. You don't know the answer to. If you're a reporter and you're trying to work with the Democrats, you don't want to say, hey, wait a second, you're making a kind of a wild accusation here. You got anything to back it up? That's not how it works. They do the same thing in everything. The media, they choose the language. The left does. Used to be you're either pro-choice or pro-life. Now it's you're pro-reproductive freedom. They don't even want to tell you about abortion. They don't want that. NARAL had to change their name. To NARAL. It used to be the National Abortion Rights Action League. Now it's just NARAL. There's no, they don't mention abortion there. They want to lie about it. But if you If you oppose abortion, if you think if you're pro-choice or pro-life, you're no longer pro-life anymore. What are you as? What do they call you? You're anti-choice. You're anti-choice. There's a little bit more detail to that than they're letting on. It's not just you're pro-choice or anti-choice, because I bet you the people that the left labels as anti-choice are very much in favor of school choice, right? Are very much in favor of your choice of your healthcare provider, your choice of doctor, things like that. The other side is not so much. The other side is not in favor of choice in any way, shape, or form in any aspect of your life except for an abortion, which they kind of want to mandate. They really aren't even super pro-choice in that respect. They kind of want to mandate it. It goes back to my theory that most women who've had abortions are riddled with guilt about it. Not all, but most. And they want to, the more people who've done it, the more normal it seems. They can try to convince themselves that no, they didn't do anything out of the ordinary or horrible or anything to feel guilty about. They did something that everybody does. Just like a cheater tries to convince other people to cheat. Oh, no, I'm not a scumbag. Everybody does. You can't be a scumbag if everybody's doing it. Well, A, you can, and B, not everybody does it. You're the exception, not the rule. But, you know, if you need that to sleep at night, I suppose, who am I to judge? All of this stuff, this horrible, horrible week for Democrats was such a good week for the Republic. We've got a bunch of audio coming up. Let's just recap what Joe Biden lost on this week. He lost the filibuster fight. It's not filibuster reform. There's no reform. It's not broken. It's not like the filibuster's broken. That's what cracks me up and annoys me about the terminology wars at the left. If you're going to reform something, you think, well, there's something wrong with it. We have to change it, to fix it, to make it better. They do this all the time with immigration. We need immigration reform. Our immigration system is broken. It's not really broken. The people in charge of it don't enforce it. They don't follow what's written there. They don't enforce the law. Yeah, oh my God, we've got so many illegal aliens pouring across the southern border because our system is broken. Well, not really. You're letting them in. That's the break. That's the broken. If it's broken to any part, it's you guys ignoring that they're coming in illegally and should be deported immediately. You know, that's the broken part. Our courts are backed up because our system is broken. No, our courts are backed up because you're not sealing the border. You're not turning people right around at the border. You're not kicking them out immediately. That's the broken part. When you don't enforce the law, it's broken. So the filibuster isn't broken, doesn't need reform. The filibuster is working the way it was explicitly designed to work. They claim it's broken because it's not giving them what they want. Ironically, yesterday, while talking about how this is a relic of Jim Crow and a racist thing, it's just a horrible, this filibuster that Democrats used hundreds of times in the Trump administration. Hundreds of times. The Democrats actually filibustered on Thursday. There was a bill Ted Cruz introduced, he forced to vote on, that would have imposed sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Sanctions against Vladimir Putin. I thought that Vladimir Putin was history's greatest monster this week, and Democrats hated him because he worked to get Donald Trump elected. Yet here's a Republican bill to impose sanctions on him, to impose sanctions on his only source of income. And it failed. It got 55 votes in the United States Senate. It needed 60 to overcome a filibuster. Democrats all voted, well, not all, five Democrats voted with Republicans. Democrats filibustered that. Democrats engaged in a filibuster while engaging in an argument about how the filibuster is wrong, how the filibuster is racist, how the filibuster is XYZ, you fill it in. You can't make this stuff up. These people are raging, raging hypocrites. More on the horrible, horrible, really bad, no good week for Joe Biden. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. He went down to Georgia, tried to, I don't know, when you, this is how bad the week is. It started off with Stacey Abrams going, I'm not going anywhere near that guy. That guy's a loser. The woman who lost the governor's race in Georgia going, I don't want to be seen with the president of the United States. You move heaven and earth. The president is coming to meet with you, and you want to meet the president. Not like, you know what? I'm scheduled to have my feet scraped. I got a tartar problem. The dentist is really going to go in on there, and I couldn't possibly reschedule that or even ask to reschedule that. So sorry, Joe, but good luck to you. Let me know how it works out. God, he was in Georgia. Nobody wants to be seen with him. Nobody. Kamala Harris sits down with Good Morning America and gives a god-awful interview. Just one of the worst each interview. She hasn't had a good interview. They even edit the hell out of these things. They record it ahead of time. That's not live TV. They edit the hell out of them, and they still can't make her have a good interview. So you're sitting there going, because I played you the clip where she's like, we're going to give these masks. When are these masks coming out? They're going to come out, I think, starting next week. And then afterwards, the White House had to come out and say, no, not next week. Hopefully by the end of the month, which is the last vestige of hope for Joe Biden to get anywhere close to his promise of, I'm going to buy a half a billion tests, and we're going to give a half a billion to anybody who wants one starting next month. We'll get one. They'll get one person on the last day of January. Somebody will ride up, they'll deliver it themselves in their personal car, and they'll bring it, drop it on the porch right at midnight on the last day and go, there, one person got a test who needed it. Now the promise was kept. See, the thing is, if you think you have COVID, you kind of need to know whether or not you have COVID, right? It's not like, okay, well, I filled out all the forms and they tell me that by next Tuesday I should have a test in the mail, provided it doesn't get lost. Huh. Either next Tuesday you're feeling better or you're dead or you're in the hospital. Like, right? Isn't that, by then, isn't it not a matter of, do I have COVID? It's a matter of, did I have COVID or am I going to survive COVID? You kind of need to know if the treatments that they have work, if they're used early enough. You need the early warning, right? You need to know whether you've got it. Sending out people a whole bunch of tests with a 50% failure rate isn't really the best way to do it, but hey, what are you going to do? And you just go down from there, and you sit there and you think, this is Joe Biden's fix. This is Joe Biden's fix. And you got a willing participant in this propaganda war in the press corps, and even the vice president can't go out and sell this because she can't keep her story there's a possibility. I mean, the only way to explain how Kamala Harris was so bad in that interview is if she was not told what's been happening in the first year of the Biden administration. She doesn't know what happened in the first year of the Biden administration, so she was not briefed for any of the possible questions that they were going to get. Because every single one of those questions that she got, she botched it. She botched it. Still, there was the hope that Joe Biden would get his bill passed, his filibuster changes in place, so that he could get some sort of legislative victory. And yesterday, that fell apart. Not only did it fall apart, to make it more embarrassing, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin both came out and said, we're not going to change the filibuster. Sorry, dude, we're not interested in it. It's not going to happen. They came out and said that while the president of the United States was up on Capitol Hill trying to convince them. While he was up there trying to, his whole shtick was, I am the one who can bring people together. I will be up there. I will unite people. I can unite both sides. You can't even unite the Democrats. While he's up there trying to unite, which is code in Democrat speak for trying to badger and pressure Democrats into, these two Democrats into supporting what he wants them to do, they announced they're not going to do what he wants them to do. Like, wow, that's a mighty fine diplomacy there. Now, my biggest fear right now is that he's going to announce some sort of breakthrough, quote unquote, in the Iran deal. And he's going to push this country back into an even worse version of the Iran deal because he's so desperate for any kind of victory, that he will glom on to a horrible deal pushed by the mullahs in Iran. Like, you'll get a nuclear bomb in 5 years. We'll help you get a nuclear bomb. Just please don't do it while I'm president. Okay, that's a fair deal. And he would take that deal so he could say, I have prevented Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. He'd take anything. They'd already lie. He needs something, for God's sakes, and he can't get anything. While he was up on Capitol Hill, I want to play this thing because there's a famous quote from Joseph Stalin. It's always these Joes. Well, you scratch a Joe and you find a Joseph. And it's there's all sorts of different versions of it. And whether or not he actually said it remains to be seen. But it certainly is something that a communist would say. And it's Stalin said, those who decide, those who vote decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything. So Joe's up on Capitol Hill. He walks up. Now, you got to set this scene. He's got his mask on. He comes sauntering up to a microphone bank that he'd been to, that microphone bank in the United States Senate, probably embedded in the floor. It's been there so long. So it was there during Joe Biden's career. And it's just off the Senate floor. It's impossible to miss. He wanders up to it and he doesn't know, is this mic on? Is this thing on? And then he starts yelling into the microphone. And he repeats that it's not who votes, that counts the votes that matter. It's not who votes matters, it's who counts the votes that matter. He's going to make sure that Democrats count the votes. He's essentially spewing something that either Joseph Stalin said or has been attributed to communist icon Joseph Stalin for 100 years in the United States Senate while talking about his so-called voting rights piece of legislation, thereby really admitting that it's not about voting. It's about who counts the votes. It's about power. It's about Democrats getting control. Listen to Joe Biden yesterday.
We all ask questions about complicated subjects like, can you get this done? I hope we can get this done. The honest to God answer is, I don't know whether we can get this done. Is this mic on? I guess, anyway. And I'm not sure either. But anyway, I hope we can get this done. But I'm not sure. But one thing for certain, like every other major civil rights bill that came along, if we missed the first time, we could come back and try it a second time. We missed this time. And the state legislative bodies continue to change the law, not as to who can vote, but who gets to count the vote. Count the vote. It's about election subversion, not just whether or not people get to vote. Who counts the vote? That's what this is about. That's what makes this so different than anything else we've ever done. I don't know that we can get it done, but I know one thing. As long as I have a breath in me, as long as I'm in the White House, as long as I'm engaged at all, I'm going to be fighting to change the way these legislatures have moving. Thank you.
I just start this whole thing. If I speak loudly, that means I care. Count the vote. Don't count the vote, baby. Count the vote. Don't tip the vote over. Count the vote. One of the lesser known vampires. Count the vote. He's a very ineffective vampire. The hell is he talking about? Where is it? Where is this world that he lives in? What goes on in it? What currency do they use? What color is the sky in Joe Biden's world? I'd like answers to these sorts of questions. I don't know if we can get it done. We're not getting it done. We can't get it done. We'll come back and try again. Which is it, Joe? Do you know what's going on? Do you have any idea what in the hell you're fighting for? Do you have any idea that you're president of the United States? Because I'm not convinced you do. I'm not convinced you know this. Good Lord. Count the vote. Count the vote. Hello, I am Count the Vote. I want to suck your blood and take away your ability to have a say in what you're trying to do with your government. Yeah, no. Feel good about your government. Feel good about your country. Senile old man screaming randomly at clouds is the leader of the free world. This is how he gets a poll, 33% approval rating. He's terrified. He's, get me up to Capitol Hill. My personal diplomatic skills can make things happen. Yeah, no, it didn't. It didn't come close. Maybe, just me, and this is how bad it was, Dick Durbin, the most appropriately named man in the United States Senate, who is the Democrat whip there. He is as partisan as they come from Illinois. After the president went down to Georgia and said, everybody who opposes what I want to do is a Klansman. All of them are racist. They're just like Bull Connor. They're just like Democrat Bull Connor, just like Democrat George Wallace. Not a good way to win people over. You're a racist. Now vote for me. Well, even Dick Durbin said maybe his choice of words wasn't all that great. Maybe his choice of words was a little bit counterproductive. Because his choice of words was wildly counterproductive. When you lose Dick Durbin, you know you're doing something wrong or you're wildly unpopular. Bad week for Joe. Bad week. It wasn't just... by the way, the Biden administration is announcing that they're giving an N95... Oprah now. Everybody's getting an N95 mask. Everyone's getting an N95 mask. I want you to listen to Joe Biden talk about N95 masks in a way that... makes no sense on planet Earth. I was in a hardware, had a really screwed up situation the other night. I'm trying to bake some small baby potatoes. They're not fingerling potatoes because they're just small potatoes. And it's not like small potatoes, like no big deal, but small potatoes in size, not stature. And I noticed because I was getting ready to heated, I was going to also cook a couple of steaks. And I look in one of the burners, it's an electric, this is why I hate electric ovens. Part of the reason why I hate electric ovens, prefer gas ovens. But I look in the back burner on the right-hand side is where like the vent comes out for the oven. And it's bright. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It's bright down there. So I open the oven to see like maybe some of the olive oil at the... that I sprinkled on the potatoes, maybe that's like splashed out and caught on fire on the little heating coil at the bottom of the oven or something. I didn't know what the hell it was. And it was, in metal shop in high school, we used a spot welder. You know, you got it. Welding and anything, you don't stare at what you're welding because it's so bright. You have that face shield on. But somehow the coil, the heating coil in the bottom of the oven had a spot on it that was as bright as a spot welder. Just white, hot. And like, what the hell is... And did olive oil... There's no flame. So it wasn't olive oil had gotten onto it and caught on fire. So I turned the oven off. I took the potatoes out. And I closed the oven and figured, all right, well, it just got really hot somehow. And I'm not going to use that again. Get that fixed. But I'm going to let it cool off. Weirdly, it never cooled off. It never stopped. It actually burned through the coil itself, separating it, and then began to work its way around that coil. It made it probably 6 full inches. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? I sprayed out a small fire extinguisher. Thought maybe I could smother it or something, just check. Nope. Wouldn't stop. Nothing would stop it. And it was slowly just turning the coil basically into ash. It was so damned hot. So I eventually pulled the thing out and unplugged it and stopped it. That was the only way to stop it. Like, what in the hell is going on here? But yeah, the supply chain, we'll see how long it takes to get a new oven. We'll see how that goes. But that'll be my supply chain horror story. But I've never seen anything like that. Anyway, Joe Biden is out there. I want to get to this, talk about things that are expensive and hard to find. I went to the hardware store last night because I was in the middle of making dinner, right? So I had to make dinner. The steaks were already seasoned and out. The potatoes were half cooked. We have a toaster oven. I had to dig that out because it just takes up counter space. So I finished the potatoes and that. And I went to the hardware store and got a two burner hot plate thing. Like, well, if I'm not going to have an oven for a week or two or however long it takes, I got to be able to cook something. So I got that. It was only $40 or whatever. And while I'm there, I noticed they had, like, it was a Christmas display, a pile of N95 masks. It was a table full of N95 masks. And it was Milwaukee, the skill saw company, the saw company. It was 3M. They had all different, if you wanted a box of 10, if you wanted a package of 3, everything in between. And they're not wildly expensive. Certainly more than, you know, putting a bandana over your face, but not wildly expensive. I don't know. Joe Biden is certainly out of touch. The last time he went to a store, who knows when that was. He goes to the ice cream shop in Rehoboth Beach a lot to buy small children ice cream for reasons that you can ascribe motivation for in your own mind. But listen to the president of the United States talk about N95 masks. He's got a plan. Bernie Sanders sort of introduced it. Bernie Sanders introduced a piece of legislation, and Joe Biden said, "We don't need no stinking legislation." Like, what do we need a Congress for if the president can just do all of these things? But he is going to make sure that these wildly expensive, hard to come by N95 masks that are probably, you know, piles of at every Home Depot you go to are sent to everybody. Because they're just too damned expensive.
But I know that for some Americans, the mask is not always affordable or convenient to get. So, next week we'll announce how we are making high-quality masks available to the American people, for free. I know we all wish that we could finally be done with wearing masks. I get it. But they're a really important tool to stop the spread, especially of a highly transmittable Omicron variant. So please, please wear the mask.
Wear the mask. Come on, man. Come on, man. No joke. It's no joke. Wear the mask. Where's the evidence that masks work? Granted, an N95 mask will work better than one of these little face shield things that you put on there, but give me a break. And next week, again, this is the Biden administration. This is what they do. We're going to announce next week. So you're announcing that you're going to announce next week? Why are you announcing that you're going to announce next week? Why don't you just announce now? If you're going to do it next week, why don't you announce it now? Or why say anything? If you're going to say anything at all, why not just announce it? Why not get it out there? No, no, no. We're going to announce that we're going to announce next week that we're doing this. And this is, of course, this is what happens when you're screwing up and you're really having a horrible week and you're like, we got to do something. What are we going to do to change the narrative? All right, what do we got? And this is the best they have. What is the best we have? We're going to give everybody $1.50's worth of N95 masks. That's the best you come up with. Yeah, you know, we could stretch it and say it's $2, but that's about as good as we can get. Okay, well, go announce that we're going to announce this. Like, we have the masks? No, we don't have the masks. It'll probably take months and months and months to get the masks, if ever. But we're going to start announcing that we're planning on procuring the masks going forward in the future. We're going to announce that we're going to start doing that next week, probably. So if you want to announce that we're going to start doing that next week, this week, you can go ahead and do that. Meanwhile, the dillweeds over there in Congress, the House of Representatives has a new rule. So, I mean, this is a great opportunity for people to test this N95 mask theory, right? Now, I have I wear N95 masks because if I have to wear a mask, I bought N95 masks at the beginning of this when they were unclear as to whether or not it works and the efficacy. And I recognized that just putting a tube sock over your face or a t-shirt isn't very effective. If I'm going to wear something, I'm going to make sure that it works. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to make sure it's done right. If I'm going to use something, I'm going to make sure it's the right thing to use. So I bought a bunch of N95 masks. It was ridiculous. I forget what I had to get. I think when I was buying my wife a new iPhone, upgrading her iPhone when her iPhone started dying on her. I had to go pick it up from the Apple store. Maybe it was my iPhone, but I had my, this was when Apple, I don't know if you can go into an Apple store now or not, but you couldn't go into an Apple store without an appointment at all before. So I show up and they go, we got to take your temperature. So they shoot you in the head with the laser and like, all right, you're not sick. And come on in. But I had my N95 mask on, but I have ones that, because it's all about me, I had the ones with the vent, you know, like, let's get the hot air out. Vent, and then it seals up everything. It's science. Don't argue. And they made me put a surgical mask on over my N95 mask because I had that vent on it. Whatever. Anyway, the House of Representatives has a mask mandate, and now we could watch them and maybe give it a couple of weeks because there's an outbreak up on Capitol Hill. Part of the reason why Democrats aren't moving as quickly as they wanted to on trying to overrule the filibuster isn't just that Sinema and Manchin said no. It's that Brian Chance, I think his name is, senator from Hawaii, is out with COVID. So right now, technically, the Senate is 50 Republicans, 49 Democrats. I think theoretically, Republicans could force, just for fun, I'd almost do this if I were a senator, could force a reorganizing vote in the Senate since they're technically in a voting majority. And they, for the weekend, until Chance came back, until the Democrats had 50 votes again, then the Democrats could vote to reorganize the Senate and get back the majority and everything. But Republicans don't have that kind of cojones. Democrats would probably do it. But the House of Representatives makes you wear a mask. The Senate side doesn't, which is stupid. But now the House is stepping up and saying you have to have an N95 mask. N95, and they, because we don't pay these, it's $174,000 a year or something like that, they can't go to the Home Depot and buy themselves a $2 mask. No, can't do that. So we, the taxpayer, are putting it up there. But there's a very interesting thing about what Democrats, kind of tells you where Democrats are coming from. Yahoo News has the story. Members of the House of Representatives were given KN95. And by the way, there's no difference between N95 and KN95, except that KN95 is the certification in Europe or in Asia. I prefer my American certification, N95. But members of the House of Representatives were given KN95 masks to wear on the chamber floor with Made in China stamped on the side. Fox News received a photo of one of the distributed masks, which are now required to be worn in order for a member to be on the House floor. The House physician recently ordered lawmakers to replace their cloth masks with N95 or KN95 masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19 Omicron variant. Now, let's see if this works. If the N95 and KN95 and all these different 95 masks work, then we should see a significant drop in the number of members of the House of Representatives testing positive for COVID, should we not? Lawmakers were reportedly not happy with the distribution of masks, which were delivered to members' offices from the office of the attending physician. House GOP Doctors Caucus Chairman Brad Westrup of Ohio told Fox News Thursday that the U.S.'s, quote, insecure supply chain presents a much greater risk to our overall nation's health. Now, how funny is it that these masks that our government bought in bulk, presumably, are made in China? Let's get in the Wayback Machine just for a second. Go back to the beginning of this pandemic, back when there was a mask shortage. Back when it was a shortage of everything, there was a shortage of sanitizing wipes, or shortage of hand sanitizer, shortage of, you know, Tylenol. You couldn't get Tylenol at the grocery store or whatever. There's all kinds of shortages that were going on, in addition to various pharmaceutical problems and the rush to create some kind of treatment or vaccine for COVID-19. What were we told by these politicians? What did they insist they would do? What was a high national priority? It was insourcing the supply chain. This is before, you know, Mayor Pete screwed it all up and Joe Biden screwed it all up and we had 150 ships sitting off the coast of California. This is before that. We were told by politicians of both political parties, we need to bring back manufacturing for our masks. We need to bring back manufacturing for all PPE into this country. We can't be beholden to China or Asia. We need to bring back the pharmaceutical manufacture into this country. That's what we were told. And there were promises of legislation to incentivize these major corporations to do that and even put pressure on them. There was this, we not only can do this, we must do this attitude. And boy, howdy, they all talked a good game. Any piece of legislation ever make it to President Trump's desk? Any piece of legislation doing this ever make it to President Biden's desk? Did any of them even make it to the floor of the House or the Senate to debate, to get a vote? Not that I know of. I know nothing has changed, and now we're to the point that the House of Representatives is ordering masks from China because why not? These politicians don't actually do anything. They don't actually mean anything that they say. And sadly, we, the people, keep electing these morons. You know, I give you a lot of updates on Australia because Australia is insane. That audio yesterday from the Aborigine to English, English to Aboriginal was priceless. It's brilliant. Misa think it was like English to Jar Jar and Jar Jar. Is that a hate crime? Probably. I don't care. It's funny. It's true. Let's be honest. It's true. It's what you thought when you heard it. Anyway, now we have, I'm a bit embarrassed by this. I have to confess. I grew up across the river, across the Detroit River from Canada, from Ontario. At Windsor, Ontario, to be exact. Went there, I don't even know how many times. Hockey for my brother, hockey for me. Drinking once I turned 19. Casino, you name it. We went across that border a million times in our lives. But for the life of me, when I saw this video, I was like, is this a real place? Is this one? I have no. Canada has 13 provinces, I know that. But I don't know all of them. There's one, the one just above Maine is apparently called New Brunswick. I thought it was maybe a city of New Brunswick, but no. It's a province, New Brunswick. And I want to illustrate what's happening in the rest of the world. It's not just Australia where I say, well, they sound like us. They like our movies. We like their movies. We cast their actors in our movies and blah, 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 blah. They're just like us. And they're not like us. It's basically a prison island that Djokovic guy is his visa has been revoked and now he's fighting this at some point I just go to hell with it. I don't even want to be in Australia. I'm going back home. I got a hot wife back in Serbia, wherever the hell he's from. I'm going back there. I don't need you. All right, you can have your stupid tournament. You don't want the reigning champion in your stupid tournament. Then the stupid tournament is kind of null and void, if you ask me, because I'm not sick. And you don't want me here. Whatever. If that's what that's the way I'd handle it. I'd just tell them all to go to hell. But instead, he's fighting it. He wants to stay. He wants to compete. I guess you got to admire the spirit. But it's not just Australia that's insane. Canada. Do you think, well, doesn't Australia have conservatives? And they do. They're called liberals down there because everything's upside down. They really are. They're called liberals. The Liberal Party down there is supposedly like conservatives here in the U.S. or they're the closest thing to free marketers that they have in any organized fashion. And up in Canada, they have the Conservative Party. And you think, oh, well, they're conservatives then. They must be similar to us. They like us. They speak the same language, except for that weirdo province of Quebec. And, you know, we have an open border with them because Canadians aren't trying to, you know, bum rush the states. But they're not like us. Even the conservatives in other places, the so-called conservatives in other parts of the world are not like us. The United States is unique in our tradition of individual liberty, in our codifying of the concept of individual liberty in our Constitution. Wildly different than these people out there on in the rest of the world who call themselves conservative. Even the Tories over in the UK. Oh, yes, we're this, that, the other. We believe in conservative free market principles, but we need to regulate the hell out of it and everything. The Tories over there are not trying to change or rescind the single-payer healthcare system. They're not trying to really lower the taxes. They're not trying to do much of anything, and they are in charge. Boris Johnson is a Tory. He's a quote-unquote conservative, and half the time he's locking down the country. Nobody's close to, say, Florida or South Dakota. Nobody's even remotely close to those places. So up in Canada, New Brunswick, the premier over there is a guy named Blaine Higgs, H-I-G-G-S. You had the liberal French President Emmanuel Macron quoted last week. It's, even if I had the audio, it wouldn't matter. It's in French. Saying that he wants to, quote, piss off the unvaccinated. He's going to go after the unvaccinated. You got Joe Biden saying it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I want to get the unvaccinated. They're awful. They're evil. We got to get them. But as we saw with the Supreme Court decision, he can't get them. Not the way he wants to get them. But Joe Biden is a liberal. Macron, liberal. You'd expect that from them. The New Brunswick premier, Blaine Higgs, is supposedly a conservative. This is the Canadian version of conservatism. Just to illustrate how we really are an island as a nation and as an ideology on the face of the earth as far as the belief in the individual and the concept of individual rights. Listen to this so-called conservative up in Canada talking about what he's going to do in the province of New Brunswick to the unvaccinated.
I've been asked many times in media interviews this week about how far I'm prepared and willing to go with vaccine mandates. And while I'm not going to elaborate without the discussion and a full discussion with health and cabinet, I will say we're going to do what is necessary to protect all of New Brunswickers and to compel people to get vaccinated. Life will become increasingly uncomfortable and more difficult for those who are able to be vaccinated but choose not to be.
Choose not to be. We will become more difficult and uncomfortable. We will do all we can to make their lives miserable. Anybody out there who isn't vaccinated is at this point is either it's medically they can't do it or for religious reasons, they won't do it. I'm not sure how vaccinated the Amish population is. Maybe they're wildly vaccinated. I don't know. But I doubt it. But anybody out there, there's nobody out there going, wait a second, there's a vaccine, there's a shot you can get? Huh, let me think about that. Nobody out there is caught off guard by this. Nobody out there is confused by this. Everybody has had access to it. You could not have purchased an aspirin or gone into a drugstore or gone into a grocery store or hell, driven just down the street and you got signs written up, get the shot. There's no way to avoid this unless you've been on the International Space Station in drug-induced hibernation. There is no way you don't know about these shots. You have made your decision one way or the other. You're pot committed. You're in or you're out. I don't care which one you are, but the idea that there is this group of people who can be convinced amongst the unvaccinated is asinine. It's incredibly stupid. They've had all this time, all this badgering, all this beating it into their heads, and they're still saying no. Maybe the only way to get them to do it at this point is to leave them the hell alone, right? Because I bet there's at least a certain percentage of the unvaccinated who are sitting there going, I'm not going to do it. They keep telling me I refuse to do it no matter what. They can go to hell. And once you stop doing it, some of them might go, they're not badgering me anymore. Well, all right, maybe I'll go do it. That's the only way at this point. Nothing else is working. And now we have governments, France, Canada, this country tried to do the same thing, to badger the people, basically by making it so 90% of the corporations in this country, 90% of the companies can't hire you if you're not vaccinated. This government, Joe Biden, tried to get people fired because they haven't gotten the jab. Thank God for the Supreme Court. It didn't work. But that's what he's trying to do. Up in Canada, they're trying to do it. France, they're trying to do it. Australia, they're trying to do it. In many of these cases, New Zealand, they're doing it. So, yeah, just because they speak our language, just because they're close to us, just because they seem like us, and, ooh, look, they play hockey and baseball, and they're not like us. They're not like us at all. Thank God for us. This country needs to be protected. All right, I want to shift it up here in the few minutes we have left. I want to play this Kyrsten Sinema clip. Because, look, Kyrsten Sinema is a Democrat. She's a progressive Democrat. She is a woman of the left. There's no question about that. But I want to point out what principle is. She has said all along that she opposes changing the filibuster rules. She's not a fan of, in favor of, changing the filibuster rules. She's not going to do it. There has been no more pressure applied to anybody than Kyrsten Sinema. She has been chased down the street. She has been chased through the halls of her office. She has been chased on into the bathroom. Threats coming at her from every possible angle. And she has remained firm in her beliefs and in her stance. It would have been so much easier. All the Democrats, we're going to challenge her. We're going to ruin her. We're going to, if she just said, okay, fine. This one stupid vote, fine. I'll vote to change this. She would have been a hero. She would have been a hero. And all the threats to her would have gone away for now. They'd find something else. People that are evil always find a way, but that would have ended. Instead, she stuck to her guns. She was not about to be badgered into it. This is what political courage looks like. Joe Biden has spent his entire political career on every side of every issue. Whatever way the wind was blowing, there he was. Whatever was politically expedient for him at a moment was what he did. He's in front of a black audience as well. I was arrested during the civil rights struggle. Was never involved in the civil rights struggle. He proudly bragged that Delaware was a slave state. But no, in a black audience, oh no, I'm a hero. I'm a hero. I was arrested trying to go see Nelson Mandela in prison. He wasn't. Kyrsten Sinema, for all the problems that she has and for all the things that I believe she is firmly wrong on, I believe she comes to those conclusions wrongly, but honestly, sincerely. Listen to her give that speech on the floor of the Senate yesterday and know that the left went absolutely nuts in attacking her because of it.
These bills help treat the symptoms of the disease, but they do not fully address the disease itself. And while I continue to support these bills, I will not support separate actions that worsen the underlying disease of division infecting our country. The debate over the Senate 60-vote threshold shines a light on our broader challenges. There's no need for me to restate my longstanding support for the 60-vote threshold to pass legislation. There's no need for me to restate its role protecting our country from wild reversals in federal policy. It is a view I've held during my years serving in both the U.S. House and the Senate, and it is the view I continue to hold. It is the belief that I have shared many times in public settings and in private settings.
She's sticking to her guns. She said no. Now she's being attacked relentlessly by the left. This is something all too, what do we hear in politics? Oh, these politics, they don't say anything they mean. You got one right there. Saying exactly what she means. Saying exactly what she means is what she's always said. And she is being attacked. And attacked, and attacked, and attacked. Somebody, back in July of 2018, after John Lewis died, Kyrsten Sinema tweeted out a photograph of her and John Lewis on the floor of the House, probably from a State of the Union address. It's a selfie. Obviously, she's taking it. It says, "My hero, rest in power, my friend." She tweeted that on July 18th, 2020. Yesterday, Jamal Bowman, congressman from New York, member of the squad, the only one, I assume he identifies as a man. I assume he doesn't identify as a man. I mean, he might think of himself as one, but he sure doesn't seem to be like one. He dug up that tweet of Kyrsten Sinema's. Jamal Bowman is a man of color. He's a black man. He is a rabid left-wing racist piece of garbage who's tweeted and says things that are so wildly racist, it's a joke. If you wonder why his district is going down the toilet, it's because they elect an idiot like Jamal Bowman, member of the Democratic Socialists of America and somebody who's a member of the squad. He took that picture and that tweet from Kyrsten Sinema from a year and a half earlier, retweeted it and said, quote, "Hero, colon, a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. Traitor, colon, a person who betrayed a friend, country, principle, etc. John Lewis is a hero. You are a traitor to his legacy, your constituents, and our democracy. A member in good standing, calling a member of the United States Senate of his own damn party a traitor. A traitor. This is what the Democrats are. They are, you are with me or you are my enemy. They are, you are this, you're on here 100% with me or you're my 100% enemy. This is just one example. Kyrsten Sinema is bisexual. The left has been going crazy about how she's betraying her people. How she's betraying this. It's as if there's, you know, they're already the big lie that, oh, the Republicans, they're disenfranchising black voters. Now, how do you disenfranchise bisexual voters? How do you even know? How do you disenfranchise voters based on their sexual preference at all? And I use the word preference deliberately because the left hates that word and consider it a hate crime. But the sexual orientation, how would you even know? You can't know. It doesn't matter. She's just betraying her people. Why? Because not a single one of these people can tell you how anybody is disenfranchised, who would be disenfranchised, how that would happen, what happened, what, nothing. It's just been decreed that somehow if the federal government doesn't ban photo IDs for voting, if they don't allow ballot harvesting across the country, if they don't mandate that everybody gets mailed a ballot, if they don't mandate that everybody gets 3 weeks to vote, that somehow this is an affront to a country that has managed to live for almost 250 years without any of those things. Without any of those things. We did a damn fine job of it. They want to take over because, as Joe Biden said, it's about who counts the votes and which votes are allowed to count. Joe Biden, Joe Stalin, which one said it? Who wore it best? Both. Neither. Whatever it is. They're horrible people. Keep an eye on them and don't trust them at all. All right, that's enough for today, don't you think? It's a holiday, for God's sakes. We did a whole show. That's how amazingly committed we are to this process. That's why you should go to patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast and sign up for $5 a month is all. For the love of God, please do it. And, of course, the winner of the book needs to be announced. The winner of Ted Cruz, A Time for Truth, autographed by the one and only Ted Cruz, is Jim Moritz. Congratulations, Jim Moritz. You have won it. Answer your messages through Patreon and send me your address, and I will get this out to you at some point this week. It's a really busy week. I got a doctor's appointment, got others' appointments and stuff, getting the oven replaced, but I'll try to get there this week, plus with the holiday, who knows. This week's contest, signed book, but contest. That is a contest between who wants what. Debbie Harry is back. Face it, signed by Debbie Harry, the lead singer of Blondie, and returning champion, another different book this time, signed by Dr. Benjamin Carson. This one is called You Have a Brain, A Teen's Guide to Think Big. autographed yet again by Dr. Carson. I got this one at the same. I walked into an interview in his office when he was at HUD, as a friend of mine worked in his communication shop, was how I was able to get that interview. I walked in there with a bunch of equipment, a whole bunch of stuff, and I guess a crew of two from the Daily Caller. This was back in the Daily Caller days. And a bag full of like six or seven of his books. So this is from my personal collection. That's how committed I am to this. It's not personalized, though, because I don't like to get autographs personalized. Because someday my kids might want to sell them. And you personalize an autograph, and it really screws up the value. Anyway, you can win one of those two books, your choice. Just go to patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast if you're a member, or if you're not, sign up, join if you are not. You just comment on the post with the photographs of these books. You just say which one you want. That's it. That's it. You will be chosen at random. I appreciate the creativity. A lot of sexual fantasies about Debbie Harry expressed in the comment section and in the messaging section. About Ted Cruz, too, weirdly enough. Not really. Anyway, have a great holiday. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.